Welcome back. According to Nasiha, a Muslim youth helpline, one of the most pressing issues facing young Muslims is the easy access to free and infinite amount of pornography. Internet, music videos, and movies makes it more prominent and almost gives one the ideology that it is acceptable in our times today. Regardless, it is a very important issue and one of the most popular trends amongst Muslim males. Let's hear what Amjad Tarseen, Muslim chaplain at the University of Toronto, has to say on this topic and his own experiences with counseling students. Welcome back to the show, Amjad.
Thank you for having me.
So we're talking about a difficult and disturbing topic. I know you do provide counseling. Is a pornography addiction something that you see often?
Yeah, it's something that I see more often than I would like to.
Within what age range and in the Muslim community, right?
Yeah, so I'm speaking of exclusively the Muslim community, mostly students who come to me for counseling. And, you know, every so often someone will come in, even in one case, a young woman coming in and telling me that they have a pornography addiction. And I recognize it's a hard topic to talk about. It's very sensitive. But the reality is that it's there, it's available, and we really need to figure out ways to inoculate ourselves against something that is a spiritual, emotional, and social disease.
Now, you know, there are a lot of statistics that, you know, if you Google pornography addiction, it's very, very, unfortunately very common, and the statistics are disturbing. But when it comes to statistics, a lot of people are kind of like, well, that's a broad statistic, it doesn't relate to me, and I would go as far as to say maybe the Muslim community also feels like that. What's your take when we look at the statistics on that?
Yeah, if you look at statistics in general in society, the Muslim community is not immune to what everyone else around them is going through. So oftentimes those statistics really transfer over, we just don't like to talk about it. And the statistics are very shocking. For example, there's a statistic that was mentioned in an article in the Washington Post, how a large number of US university students, males, had watched pornography in the last year, and of those who have, that 83% of them were more likely to commit sexual assault or not report it if they saw a sexual assault occurring. So it's warping people's minds, their sense of morality, their sense of decency. It objectifies women, and it really destroys the internal fabric of a human being.
And I know we were talking off air briefly about, you know, it also promotes things that are considered like illegal, like rape pornography, and you're hearing about that as well?
I mean, it's once again, it's a reality. It's something we don't like to talk about. But one of the most highly watched genres of pornography is rape pornography. So what does that do to someone's mind? What does that make a person who has become addicted to that kind of poison? When they go out in the street and they see women, what does that make them look at them like? You know, how does that affect their perception of reality? It objectifies them, and it really takes away the common human decency that we're supposed to afford one another. And I would say the Muslim community, once again, is not fully immune to that, especially with devices like cell phones and laptops and so forth. And most people who come to me, they say it's their cell phone or their tablet. It's readily available, and we need to warn people from a young age. I know a lot of people don't want to talk to their children about this, and I appreciate that. There needs to be sensitivity, but we really need to warn them from a young age to be very careful, that this isn't something that's just exciting, but this is something that is very damaging, like a drug.
So tell me a little bit about that. What are the implications when it comes to pornography addiction based on your counseling that you've provided? And also, you know, you said talking about this at a young age. What is that age as well?
I would say around the age of puberty, 12, 13 years old especially, maybe even a little bit younger to prepare them, depending on the access that they have to technology. Every household is different. Every parenting style is different. But at the very least, if not talking about pornography, talking about the fact that there are bad images out there. If you just Google search a regular thing, you might have,
like a billion
pornographic
ads
image come up accidentally. So we need to really tell young people to be very careful, to know that this is both forbidden religiously, but very damaging personally. And many of the implications that I've seen are people isolate themselves. They become very socially awkward. They prefer isolation so that they can engage in their addiction. They have a hard time getting married. And then the studies that are coming out is that it actually alters the brain chemistry, that certain hormones are released in the brain when these images are seen. And then just like a drug, people are looking for more and more intense expressions so that they can get that pleasure experience through the hormone release or whatever in their brains, which changes their brains and changes what they actually experience pleasure in, which is why people who are addicted to pornography actually don't find a whole lot of satisfaction in marriage. So it's bad.
And what about, just so we can, I guess especially for our viewers who might be disturbed by this conversation or having this conversation for the first time, when we talk about pornography addiction, is that, and I just want to break down the term addiction as it relates to porn, is it where you're just obsessed with it and so 24/7 that's what you want to do at all times? Or what does that look like? Is it similar to drug addiction, people who have a drinking problem?
It is similar to drug addiction, and I think One of the definitions of an addiction is that a person continuously seeks it and that it starts to increase. That a person does not satisfy themselves with the same amount of intake, but that they actually look for more and more. They look for a bigger high, which is why it gets more and more intense, which is why you have a genre like rape pornography. Who on earth would watch that? But you start to realize that people are looking for more, quote-unquote hardcore expressions so that they can actually get that release in their brain to feel that pleasure for something at the beginning that they would have found repulsive. So it is an addiction, and for anyone who's watching who might be suffering or challenged by this, there are institutions, even like CAMH, the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, has services for even pornography addiction and things related to that. So there are even mental health institutions that are recognizing that this is a problem that needs to be addressed. And once again, if you look at the pornography consumption worldwide, Muslim majority countries are high on that list. So we can't really act like we're not a part of this.
And what about, I guess from a spiritual sense, just so people aren't, people are watching and, if they are dealing with this, just so they don't feel completely like there's no turning back. From a spiritual sense, we know that there are resources out there and we'll provide the link, but from that sense, what's your advice?
We always believe spiritually that the door to Allah, the door to God is always open. And that even if someone has engaged in great harm towards themselves or even others, that there's always an opportunity to turn back. That we believe that God is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most compassionate, and that God loves for His servants to turn back and loves for them to repent and wants them to attain this wholeness and this contentment and this wholesomeness of heart and of life, which is why, so many of these things are forbidden to begin with so that people don't harm themselves. But even if someone has gone down that road, there's always an opportunity to turn back as long as there's life, right? So we never write anyone off. We never lose hope. We never think that there's no going back for me, I'm too far gone. There's always an opportunity, and God can heal all scars. But we just have to take whatever steps are available. And when we take those practical steps, then spiritually we will also begin to heal as well.
So is it focusing on taking the practical steps and then repenting to God? What is that spiritual component?
The spiritual component is that turning back to God is that we cease from doing that which harms us, that sin. In this case, it would be watching pornography. Definitely taking all of the means available that are good to overcoming that addiction or that obsession. And so the practical and the spiritual are actually very much intertwined, absolutely. And then turning back to God and asking God for forgiveness and asking God for healing and asking God for the strength never to go back. So it's both of those.
It's a disturbing topic, but I'm glad we ended off on that note. So
thank you
very much, Abjad.
There's always hope. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks. Hey YouTube, we hope you benefited from this video. If you liked it, or if you didn't, let us know in the comments below. And if you're interested in learning more, check out some of our other videos. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get new videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.